Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Coming up on the Free For All, sports columnist extraordinaire Brian Costa talking about Augusta, golf, Masters, Spieth, Rory, Jason, Bubba. Who's going to take it? Brian gives us his pick. Coming up on the Free For All.
This is Free For All from the Wall Street Journal. Now, from New York, here's Jason Gay.
Hey, it's Jason Gay, and welcome back to the Free For All. And coming up, you're going to hear those birds chirping. You're going to hear the trees blowing and the azaleas blooming. Maybe the azaleas have already bloomed and left. It's possible in this, you know, turbulent climate we now live in, but it's Masters time. It's Butler Cabin time. It's Jim Nance draped in the velvety tones of golf talk. And joining us, Brian Costa, baseball and now can we say golf columnist for the Wall Street Journal?
Sure.
Okay. You are a man of many talents. You have traveled the world. You have been recently to Cuba.
I have.
To follow Barack Obama's historic pilgrimage and baseball visit to Cuba. You have been to far-flung places like Sochi and to, where was that wacky baseball game?
Finland.
But there's no place quite like Augusta National Golf Club. And explain the allure for people who have not been. It is the number one thing I get asked, I find. When people want to know about what a thing is like, what a sporting event is like, I find it's the Masters people ask the most about.
I think there's a curiosity about it because it's historic, but also so exclusive.
A little weird.
It's the toughest
ticket to get. Yeah.
I mean, it's the definition of clubby.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a curiosity about it. It also looks spectacular on television.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, HD has done wonders for the reputation of the Masters.
Sure.
But
and let's face it, it was a huge, huge deal long before HD.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks like $1 billion.
It's timeless. I mean, it has that feel like, you know, when you watch a baseball game at Wrigley Field and you can kind of squint your eyes a little bit and pretend you're watching something from 50 years ago. If you're into that sort of thing, you know, Augusta National is great for you.
Yeah. Now, if Matt Futterman were here, he would be rolling his eyes and saying, guys, it's as artificial as, like, you know, the set of, like, the Wizard of Oz out there painting the grass.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I was joking with somebody yesterday. You know, it's like, you know, in some ways, a trip to Cuba is not the worst preparation for a trip to Augusta National. I mean, you know, in either place, I can't use my cell phone.
Yeah.
One doesn't work in Augusta. I've got to keep it tucked away.
Yes.
And, it's very...
You consider all your calls to be monitored.
Exactly. You know, there's a heavy police state presence.
Yeah.
You know, the security is...
Have you gotten lightly scolded by any of the personnel on the grounds? Borderline infractions?
Last year was my first year there, so you know, give me time. I'll see what I can do.
Have you broken into a light jog and had someone tell you to? Because you're not allowed to run. I don't know if people know.
No, you're not allowed to run.
Like if someone says Tiger Woods is about to birdie 16, you cannot run.
No. You sort of just briskly stroll in a dignified fashion.
Yes.
I think it's one of those places for me where you hear so much going into it about the things you're not allowed to do.
Yeah.
That I think, you know, it's like, you know, you just sort of know there are certain things you're not supposed to do, and so you become more aware of them. And like in other places, you might hear that and be like, okay, whatever. But you know, Augusta, when you go there, you know, no, they kick you out for this. No, you'll be taken away and you won't be seen again. And that's how it'll happen.
Is there a kind of charm to it, though? And I know you just went the one time last year and you're going back this year. But even in that one time, did you notice that, you know, nowadays people are so consumed with their phones, even at sporting events, you look over people sitting courtside seats or behind home plate, and they're looking at their phones or trying to take selfies and they're trying to do this. And like, there is something about the audience being in the moment of the sport and fans are really cuckoo about what's actually happening. They're pretty plugged into what's going on for all the sort of retro technology that exists around the course to tell you what's going on. It's really reliable.
Yeah.
And I like that part of it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, it's funny. Going to Major League Baseball games now, if you just scan the crowd, you just see these people staring into their phones. And it's like, you know, a lot of times there'll be a home run, and I wonder how many people actually saw the ball leave the bat and how many just heard a stir and, like, kind of glanced up.
Exactly.
And like, oh, yeah, great hit.
Yeah, right.
No, that's not a problem at Augusta. And for me as a reporter, it's actually in some ways logistically difficult to be out there trying to observe something and not be able to be sure. in touch with the office instantaneously. But at the same time, it's probably one of the few places I could go outside of Cuba where I have an excuse to say, you know what, I might not be reachable for a little while.
I love it. Not even in the mountains of Sochi were you less reachable.
Right.
Okay. So heading into this tournament, one of the great standbys of all Masters reporters is the how's Tiger doing on the course. You know, if he does good, if he does poorly, or does well, he does poorly. If he struggles, if he makes a run, you know, there's always the Tiger story. It was, you know, he got at least one per trip. Not going to get it this year. Oh, I guess you could strain. You could probably squeeze one out if you wanted to, but oh, that sounded terrible. That just sounded really, really terrible. That's a new low. Listen. No Tiger. Are we now to this point where we can say we're basically knocking on the door of the post-Tiger golf generation?
I think post-Tiger era has started.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he's a golfer, right? So he's never going to disappear. I mean, golfers just don't retire. They just sort of slowly fade away and they play less. But yeah. I think we're pretty comfortably in the post-Tiger era now for the sport. And, you know, it doesn't look quite as terrifying as everybody thought it was going to be.
That's an amazing thing. It really is true that there are a number of bright young stars who are extremely exciting and fan favorites. We have an American among the group, which is great for the sport here in this country. Jordan Spieth, Spieth's the world number one, or is it Day?
He just lost it to Jason Day.
Okay, so Day's the world number one, my near-name doppelganger. But Spieth is, you know, a remarkable player, the defending champ last year, won it pretty much going away. Then you got Rory. You got who else is our, you know, in
well,
our,
you've
in our,
got, we got, it's funny because everyone talks about, you know, we went from being like, okay, you know, this is sort of long, years-long search for a successor
right,
to Tiger.
Right.
Everyone's like, okay, we have Rory. And everyone last year was like, well, who's going to be a rival to Rory? Like, give us one.
Right.
And by the end of last year,
two
people are talking about,
yeah.
you know, two other guys in Jordan and Jason Day. Yeah. But what's amazing is the group just behind that. I mean, Ricky Fowler,
sure.
The guy who I would be my pick to win the Masters that gets totally overlooked, who's actually the number four player in the world, is Bubba Watson,
yes.
who's played very well
and
a Masters winner who gets, you know, overlooked in many ways because of the guys just above him.
And he's a little older.
Yeah, he's definitely older. Even below that, I mean, there are guys that are, you know, not well known, but like Dustin Johnson's
right.
Sort
no,
of
I think Dustin Johnson
has been,
that.
You know, this
what
great
a Patrick
talent.
Reed, somebody like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's the depth at that very top is really amazing, and it's created this scenario where, you know, it's kind of perfect because right, no one player could ever fill that void that Tiger left.
Yeah.
But if you have a bunch of them right there, and maybe they're not all on in a given week, and maybe they're all not so interesting that you're going to obsess over them like with Tiger, but collectively, they sort of fill that void about as well as you could reasonably expect golf
yeah.
to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to Jeff Ogilvy a few weeks ago about this, and he...
I'm just going to pick that name up off the floor there. You know, you're on the air with Brian Costa when he's name dropping Jeff Ogilvy.
Name dropping Jeff Ogilvy, but no, he's you know, obviously veteran golfer and major winner, and
sure. yeah.
you know, very insightful guy. And he was recalling the first round of the PGA Championship. I believe it was in the Chicago area about 10 years ago, and mm-hmm. he had been in a first round group with Tiger and Phil.
Yeah,
so it's him, Tiger, and Phil.
Yeah.
And, of course, the crowds are amazing. I mean, it's just like this massive circus of the
yeah.
people inside the ropes, the fans
yeah.
So he walks into the clubhouse after his round. He's talking to the other players. He's like, guys, can you believe the fans here? Man, they really love golf. And all the other players are like, what are you talking about? There's nobody on the course. Like, outside of that one group, when you had Tiger and Phil together, nobody else was anywhere. There's nobody else anyone wanted to see. Like, Tiger's done at lunchtime with his round. Everybody goes home. And so now it's like, it's kind of spread out. Like, there's no one guy like that, but you can kind of, you know, you see one guy, you see Jordan in the morning, or Rory's playing in the afternoon, and it's just different.
It seems like, you know, and you and I have talked about this, the overall health of the sport, and by no means is golf sort of out of the woods in terms of its, you know, turbulence, but that it has found a little bit of a settling point right now where the sport is, the, you know, the presumptions of its currency and death are, you know, were definitely exaggerated. We do have a new generation to get excited about. And among players who, people who love the game, there's a renewed excitement, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's there's a distinction between, like, the game at the participatory level and the tour. But I think what's been shown is, like, the tour has shown that, you know, even among people who aren't, like, your, you know, country club hardcore golfers, like, the tour doesn't just appeal to them. You know, there are some other people who maybe, you know, wish they could golf or just find it interesting that I think the tour at this stage has some appeal to.
Phil? Since you raised Phil?
Yeah, and, which is amazing that we haven't even talked about Phil. I mean, he's playing better now and looking like he could very well go win the Masters. Yeah. You know, he may not have much time left to do that, but...
How old is 46? No, he's not that old.
Gosh.
I'm going to look up this right as we speak.
Look it up.
And then my other favorite Masters ritual is Freddie Couples making a run. Did he make a run last year? Like, every time that I covered the Masters, Freddie Couples went out and shot, like, a 67 on Friday, and all of a sudden he was in the top six, and he's like, I don't know, I just love this course, you know? And the fact that, you know, course IQ could give you that much of a leg up was a fascinating thing about Augusta.
Yeah.
And made, you know, another reason why it was such a compelling place to watch golf played.
Well, it's the only major where you go back every year. So, I mean, like,
and he was the only guy who played with a caddy too from the course.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, if you know, accumulate that over the years, it really I don't know how much it matters if you're not hitting the ball well, but it can help.
Mickelson will be 46 on June 15th.
Okay. I knew it was right around there.
Yeah.
So, but he's another guy. I mean, you know, if you take the young guys now and then throw in Phil playing pretty well again, and then throw into that if Tiger even comes back and is even just around, you know, like, looking a little bit further down the road here, like, it makes it, it seems like we've come a long way from even, like, 2 years ago when it was like, who else is there but Rory? And again, what are Tiger and Phil doing?
Okay, so I imagine you've been asked this question already, but I'm going to ask it of you, which is, somebody at work got me a badge. I'm going down. I'm going to be there Friday. You know, what should I do? What are the things that I need to do if I go to Augusta National?
It's not like Disney World. You know, like, there's not, like, that many, like, attractions to see.
No, I mean, Space Mountain.
It's the golf. I mean, you know, like.
But should I have lunch in the clubhouse, Brian?
You can't.
Can I get a $1.50 sandwich?
You can get a $1.50 sandwich.
Pimento cheese sandwich.
I gotta tell you, I had one last year. Not that great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You didn't like it that much?
I was not in awe. It just, it tasted kind of like a cheese sandwich, which was okay.
All right. The potato chips, they're kind of like, you know, boiled. They're a little bit different.
Yeah.
That sort of Cape Cod style.
Chips. Yeah, you know, but like.
The beer. What's the cocktail of choice? What should I buy for a souvenir?
You know,
That's a big point.
The gift store there are long lines for it.
Yeah.
And it is definitely worth stopping at.
Because you can't get that stuff.
Right.
You can't
and that's why that's why it's a great souvenir, is because it's very, you can't order online.
Yes.
You can't just go and buy it. So there's a huge demand for, you know, the shirts with a little Augusta National logo on them. So that's worth stopping at. But, you know, there's a simplicity about it when you get in there. A
couple years ago when I went, my friend Adam Rappaport is the editor-in-chief of Bon Appetit magazine and also a golf lunatic, and has always wanted to go to the Masters and was obsessed with getting those pimento cheese sandwiches. He's yet to go, but a couple years ago, I managed to, and this is probably going to get me banned from going to Augusta National, but I snuck in some of those, like, ice bricks, you know, like those sort of frozen, you know, things you stick in a cooler, like an Eagle cooler. Put them in my, you know, knapsack, and I brought it in. You know, you get your knapsack checked, and they might have seen it and not cared. But I bought a bunch of pimento cheese sandwiches, and I put them in a FedEx box because they have a FedEx place on site, and FedExed Adam 4 or 5 pimento cheese sandwiches, which he got the next day at his office.
It's a great story. I feel really bad for the security officers who are going to be fired upon Augusta National hearing this. But it is a great story.
I mean, come on. If you're Augusta National, don't you want the editor-in-chief of Bon Appetit, probably the country's most prestigious food magazine, to be eating your pimento cheese sandwiches if they're so good? So I feel I did a service for the sport of golf. I don't think this should in any way jeopardize my ability to, you know.
Walk again.
Okay. You're playing a little bit more, Brian. I know this. You know, covering the sport means you're playing a little bit more. If you go out to Augusta, give me a hole that you're like, there could be a birdie out there for you.
Could be a birdie.
You know, do you like what you see around Amen Corner about maybe getting a birdie there, or would you think it'd have to be a longer hole?
I would play 12, the par 3 there,
yeah,
on Amen Corner, because, you know, I don't know if I play it from the pro tees, but play it from, you know, the everyman tees there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could hit a terrible shot, but it's conceivable that, you know, you or I could hit a tee shot onto the green there, which is not something you can usually say.
They have a lottery, do they not? They have a lottery for the media where everyone chucks their business card in, right? And the next day they let a couple people play?
I think they do. I didn't put in for it last year, but I know I've heard of other writers who have who have done that, and they go out on Monday and play. I'm sure there's equal mix of, you know, thrill and utter humiliation.
Can you imagine? I mean, to me, I feel like it would be like, you know, obviously, you know, one of the most desired tee times in all of sports, well, in all of golf. But the thought of shooting 140 would just be weighing on me all day.
Right. Or just like taking a huge chunk out of the grass.
That I don't care about. Well, the course is probably really beaten up. That's a funny thing, right?
Not as beaten up as it would be after I got through 18.
Yeah. And also, like, when we say beaten up, we should put into context the type of places that you and I typically play golf,
right,
which
right.
don't really even look like golf courses.
Right. Like the New York City munis are pristine.
Look, yeah. No, absolutely. Okay. Give me a pick.
I'm going to take Bubba Watson.
Yeah?
I am. I really think that he just won at Riviera, so he's played well recently, but also just last year generally. And I do think it's the kind of place that suits him well. It's just sort of, you know, they call it sort of a horses for courses type of type of major.
Yeah.
And, but having said that, it's funny because every time I hear people talk about the Masters this year and who's the favorites, people will be like, well, give me your top three favorites. And like everyone who answers that question reels off like 7 names.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like where we are right at this moment in golf.
Yeah.
It really sets up a pretty interesting tournament because, you know, there are about, you know, maybe 8 people you could name in answer to that question. And everyone goes, oh, sure, that makes sense. That's a sound pick.
And does Augusta mean that you miss opening day?
I will be on a plane down there on Monday. Opening day plays out. There's like 5 opening days now. So
right.
If Sunday is opening day, which is the first opening day,
right,
I will not be in Augusta for that.
Okay, but you won't be at an opening day.
I will not be at an opening day.
Do you have any melancholy about missing baseball opening day?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. I mean, I'll see it. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
This is not a bad problem to have.
No, this is not. There are worse places to be than Augusta, especially, you know, it is one of the most beautiful places to watch a sporting event, and the weather is great.
It is great.
The weather is great. I hope it rains on you for 4 straight days. Brian Costa is the baseball and golf columnist and sports columnist extraordinaire here at the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for joining us. Hope you don't get food poisoning from those overrated pimento cheese sandwiches, which you rained upon. I hope they revoke your credential for diminishing their pimento cheese sandwiches. I was the one who loved them, even though I illegally snuck them out. Thanks for joining us here on the Free For All. As always, you can subscribe to the Free For All by looking for us on iTunes. I'm Jason Gay.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.